So welcome to the Meet the Artist podcast. I'm here with my special guests of the day, Antonio Natale.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. And his exclusive artistic agent, Christine Ruiz Querendi.
Thank you. Hello.
Welcome to you both. I'm so excited to have the opportunity to speak with you. You're very peripatetic people. You're always on the move, and it's really a privilege to have you stop in Switzerland for a while to have not only a conversation with me on this podcast, but also we had a great workshop with students this morning.
Yes.
With first year seminar students, and you're doing a presentation later for Meet the Artist, and you're doing a special pop-up exhibition this evening in the student lounge at Webster University, which we're all looking forward to very much.
It's a huge opportunity for us to be here. Thank you very much, Juliana, for this opportunity.
Thank you,
Webster.
My pleasure. Webster's pleasure, if I may say so. Let's start talking about Rome. Or let's start a little bit before Rome. Could you tell us a little bit about where you grew up before you got to Rome and studied at Accademia delle Belle Arti? That's correct?
Sì, è corretto. Accademia di Belle Arti. I'm sorry if I'm talking in Italian, but it's more easy for me to talk in Italian when I'm talking about myself and my story.
Yeah.
Allora, prima degli studi accademici di Roma... magari Christine potrebbe anche parlare in
Would you
tradurre?
Like me to translate?
Sì.
Christine is yes, if you could translate that would be great.
Thank you.
Yes, so you'd like to answer in Italian first and Christine will be translating your answer.
If he can speak in English sometimes he'll do it.
Sure, that sounds good.
Preferisco questa storia da parlare in italiano. Prima degli studi accademici.
Before my academic studies.
In Roma, dal 1984 al 1988.
From 1984 to 1988.
Sono cresciuto in Puglia, sud dell'Italia, dove ho conseguito il diploma di liceo artistico nella sezione di pittura, contemporaneamente a corsi di cartellonistica pubblicitaria.
Ok. So he's Antonio is from Puglia, south of Italy, and he says that he was he grew up there and he went to the Liceo Artistico, which is the high school for arts, and at the same time he was working as an advertiser, as advertiser.
E anche come figurinista, creatore di moda.
And he was also creating fashion creator.
Quindi sono cresciuto in un ambiente, sì, artistico, ma molto limitato.
He grew up in an ambience, you know, in a world, in a very limited world when it came to art.
I miei primi passi nel disegno sono stati in studi pubblicitari.
And his first...
steps,
For his first steps were... creating publicity and advertising.
Ecco perché nei miei lavori si vede molto spesso alcuni soggetti sono come delle immagini pubblicitarie.
That's why in his art you can see that many of the subjects are like advertising.
Il crescere in una città del sud Italia non è facile perché non ci sono stimoli artistici.
To grow up in a place like South Italy, in South Italy, where there is no stimuli for art, it's very hard. It's a difficult thing.
E questo è il motivo in cui quasi a 18 anni, nel 1984, sono andato a Roma per studiare l'Accademia di Belle Arti.
And that's why in 1984 he set from Rome to Rome to study his passion art.
Did you become, I mean, now that you have quite a reputation, right, having, you know, developed your career to such an extent, you must be some kind of must be regarded as some kind of a prophet back home when you go back. Is that true or is it just my imagination?
Se non sbaglio, da quello che ho capito, è nessun profeta in patria?
No, che sei considerato come un profeta, visto che hai avuto una...
Like a hero, you know, coming back home.
Magari sarebbe bello.
It would have been nice.
Not like that.
Non ho mai fatto caso a questo, perché sinceramente non mi interessa il giudizio
really
della
noticed.
Gente, perché è difficile essere, come dicevo prima, è difficile essere artisti nella propria città di nascita.
Yeah, he says that it's really hard to be an artist where you were born.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they always say, you know, you can't become a prophet in your own home, but when you go abroad and travel as extensively as you have, you come back and then all of a sudden people go, oh, the hero's home, you know?
Sì.
It's not like that.
Diciamo, da un lato potrebbe essere anche così, perché l'ultimo premio che mi hanno dato è Argo Scipio.
Yeah. Maybe in some way, yes, because the last prize that I received is the Argo Scipio prize.
Yes.
And it was given to Antonio for his international career and the pride he's brought to his country, Italy.
Oh. So there is some
finally,
of that.
Yes.
And ecco.
So we've
recognition.
Yes.
Sì, ma ho dovuto aspettare 52 anni.
He waited 52 years for that.
Wow. It was worth it, though, right?
Yes.
No, it was last year, in 2017.
Yes, it was. So it's finally happened.
Yes, just for one time. It's okay, yeah.
So I have so many questions in my mind. We were talking earlier about sources of inspiration during the workshop that you gave with students, and you talked about travel as a major source of inspiration. So tell us, what was your last trip that served as such an inspiration?
Ok, quando io parlo del viaggio,
when I talk about traveling,
non deve essere per forza un viaggio lontano, esotico o chissà cosa.
It is not always something that is far away or exotic, to an exotic place.
E io il mio viaggio è inteso anche prendere una macchina e fare 20 km in una foresta e prendere ispirazione da questa foresta.
I can also take the car and go to a forest and have my inspirations from there.
Mm-hmm. Quello è anche un viaggio.
It's also a trip.
Okay, so it's travel as a metaphor.
Absolutely.
I see. Coming back to this idea that you have a very strong kind of classical humanist tradition through the academy, schooling that you received, I wanted to ask you whether it's really burdensome, because a lot of artists aren't schooled in this academic tradition of the Beaux-Arts, right? And they don't have to live with the burden of this tradition of all these people who have come before you, especially in Italy, you know, where it's the cradle of civilization, you could argue, right? So how does one produce something new when one has such a burden of all these great, you know, artists before?
Se non sbaglio, ho detto come è stato possibile creare qualcosa di nuovo avendo avuto una educazione classica nelle scuole.
E tu hai avuto una educazione accademica?
Certo.
Ma quando vedi tutta la gente che è venuto prima di te e tu sei artista come loro, c'è qualcosa che ti pesa su?
Il
sopra.
Problema degli artisti italiani?
The problem of the Italian artists.
È che abbiamo un piccolo disagio.
Cos'è il disagio?
È un problema. Perché abbiamo un bagaglio culturale molto pesante.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Allora, essere stato a Roma e aver studiato. Essere stato a Roma ed aver studiato il Caravaggio. Yes.
The problem with the Italian artists is that we have this whole background of a very important artist and culture behind us.
Mm-hmm. Ecco, quindi avere alle spalle grandi artisti come geni come Caravaggio, Michelangelo, specialmente in Roma.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Rome, where there was Caravaggio, Michelangelo, etc.
E avendo studiato in un'accademia di belle arti dove i professori insegnavano.
And having studied in l'Accademia delle Belle Arti, where professors, big professors, have, you know, teach.
Insegnavano questi grandi artisti. Non è stato facile alla fine dell'accademia distaccarsi.
It was not very easy to separate myself from them at the end of my studies.
Mm-hmm. Gli stessi professori nostri dicevano in accademia, non sarà facile per voi allontanarvi dall'accademia.
The teachers used to tell us that it was not going to be very easy to go away from the academia.
Perché una volta che studi classici.
Because once you study classics.
È umanamente quasi impossibile poter troncare, tagliare con il passato, perché noi apparteniamo all'Italia.
It is almost impossible to cut from your past and from all this culture that's Italian and sticks to you.
Mm-hmm. Faccio un paragone.
I'm going to compare something. Mm-hmm.
L'artista americano è più fortunato.
The American artist is luckier.
Perché ha una cultura dal 700 in poi.
Because he has a culture from 700 on, from 700 years.
Noi abbiamo mille anni.
Mm-hmm. We have thousands of years.
Dietro le nostre spalle.
Behind us.
E questo succede ogni volta che io dipingo.
And this happens every time I paint.
Ho i miei fantasmi di Giotto, Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci che guardano.
I have my my ghosts of Michelangelo, Caravaggio, etc. behind me who are watching.
No, it's not easy. Really.
But they're happy and they're smiling.
I hope. Lo spero. Just...
Is it important for you, or does it matter? Does it have value when people notice the classical roots in your work? Is that a good thing for you?
È importante che la gente sappia che io ho uno studi
che
classici.
Sì, certo.
Sì, è importante per me.
Oui, c'est très important.
Sorry. We can do it in trilingual.
Sorry.
No, it's great.
Yes, it's very important for me.
È importante perché è il, secondo me, una mia pensiero personale. Ogni artista deve avere un buon background.
I think that every artist should have a good background.
Mm-hmm.
Io non credo negli artisti che nascono il sabato sera e muoiono la domenica sera.
I don't believe in artists who are born on a Saturday and die on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Noi in Italia li chiamiamo gli artisti della domenica.
We call them the artists of Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Quelli sono per terapia e per decorazione, ok.
Those are for therapy, mostly for therapy or for decoration.
Mm-hmm. So how did it happen that you started collecting banknotes in 1997, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, come è iniziato il tutto? Mm-hmm. Ok, la storia delle banconote, premetto che prima delle banconote dipingevo sulle carte geografiche, come abbiamo detto questa mattina.
Yeah, before, I just want to say that before the banknotes I used to paint on city maps,
mm-hmm.
like we said this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nel 97... ricordo anche il giorno, era il 13 maggio del 1997.
On the 13th of May 1997.
Ho avuto tra le mani una 1000 lire, le vecchie lire italiane.
I received a banknote. There were liras back then, of 1000 liras.
E su questa banconota c'era un numero telefonico e un messaggio.
On this banknote there was a phone number and a message.
Riflettendo tutta la notte ho pensato se la scrittura può essere sopra una banconota una fonte di pubblicità, se la banconota con questa scrittura e numero telefonico può girare, potrebbe essere anche l'arte, perché no?
So I really thought about it all night, And I thought if a banknote with all these messages can convey a message from hand to hand, then why not art? Mm-hmm. We can also do it for art.
E la mia prima banconota è stato proprio un dollaro americano con Washington, travestita da Marilyn Monroe.
My first banknote was actually Washington, George Washington, on a $1 bill, and I disguised it as Marilyn Monroe.
You know why?
I don't know.
No. Okay, no, scrivendo invece del $1, one love. E quindi Marilyn, che era un'icona, ho cancellato il significato del denaro e ho messo Marilyn sopra.
Okay, this was, instead of $1, it was one, and then the banknote is full of love, so it's one love.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to cancel the meaning of the banknote. And put Marilyn Monroe on it.
All'inizio era solo una prova, era l'inizio di una ricerca artistica.
Okay, it was the beginning of a whole artistic research.
Perché riprendeva la mia idea di dipingere su qualcosa di già esistente.
It was taking his idea of painting on something that existed already.
E quindi sono ora 21 anni che continua a dipingere su banconote.
So now there's been 21 years that he's painting on banknotes.
So who baptized you, the artist of banknotes?
Chi ha dato questo? Sì. Allora, anni fa.
Many years ago.
Ero su internet.
I was on internet.
Sulla ricerca Antonio Natale è uscito un libro pubblicato in America.
Okay. Under Antonio Natale, I found a book that was published in America.
Io non sapevo nulla, non mi hanno contattato.
He had no idea about it, they had not contacted
him. Ed è un grande libro sulle relazioni tra economia, finanza e arte.
It's a book about the interactions between art and finance.
Il titolo è The Cultural Life of Money.
The title is The Cultural Life of Money.
Ed è in una pagina c'è il Antonio Natale, nato nel 1965, l'artista delle banconote.
Antonio Natale, born in 1965, the artist of banknotes, was written in it.
Ma la cosa tragica è che sulla stessa pagina compare il nome anche di Andy Warhol. Bellissimo questo.
And what's tragic is that on the same page there's also the name of Andy Warhol.
Perché Andy Warhol ha lavorato anche con il denaro facendo delle serigrafie dei rotoli di dollari.
Yes. Andy Warhol has also worked on banknotes.
Serigrafie con
banknotes. Yeah, he's done serigraphical work on banknotes.
E da lì è rimasto il nome dell'artista delle banconote.
And that's where it came from, the artist of banknotes.
Okay. And I want to bring you in also as the agent, Christine. You met in 2013.
Yes.
So, actually, question for you, Antonio, now, both of you, actually. So what changed, well, for you, what changed in 2013 when Christine came into your life as your agent?
Preferirei far parlare prima Christine dell'incontro.
How did you meet? Let's talk about that first.
Actually, one of my friends who had bought one of his pieces had posted one of the paintings on internet. And I happened to see it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And that impact I got from that piece of, painting, with that painting was so strong that I just needed to find out more. So I went and I researched to see if I could find more. And I was actually drawn into a world so full of meaning, so enchanting, so amazing, that I just needed to find out who had painted it and, where I could find the artist. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. I contacted Antonio, and he was in Les Arts painting back then, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I went to find him.
In quel periodo dividevo un atelier con un altro artista, Les Arts.
I had an atelier in art with another artist in Les Arts.
È la prima volta che ho incontrato lei, Christine, era appunto nel 2013. Il 23 di novembre, quindi tra un po' farà 5 anni.
Yeah, it's going to be 5 years in just a few days.
Yeah.
We've been working together since then.
E rispondendo alla tua domanda, cosa è cambiato dal 2013?
Yeah, so how did you manage before and how has it changed since 2013?
Yeah. Prima ero un artista.
Before I was an artist.
Senza regole.
Without laws.
Oh. Avevo bisogno di una persona di fiducia.
I needed somebody I could trust.
Che potesse alleviare un po', sollevarmi da tutti i problemi quotidiani.
that would take over all the problems of every day.
Di organizzazioni.
To organize everything for me. Mm-hmm.
Perché non è facile per un artista pensare alla creazione e all'organizzazione.
Because an artist it's not very easy for an artist to concentrate on painting and taking care of his administration
career.
And career yeah. and yeah. everything. Mm.
Quindi diciamo che dal 2013 io sono completamente libero di creare. Finalmente.
I can say that since 2013 I'm totally free to create.
Mm. What a luxury.
E questo è importante per sia per la produzione artistica ma anche per la mia testa.
It's good for my artistic production but it's also good for my head.
Mm-hmm. So how do you promote your work, or how, Christina, do you promote Antonio's work? Do you have any, well, I'm not going to ask you for a book of recipes, like how does this work, but maybe you could tell us how do you approach institutions or collectors. Maybe you have a few stories to share, a few anecdotes to share of how that works. How do you manage that? Because it's a delicate, complicated phenomenon, I imagine.
Yes. The first move I made was organize a huge event here in Geneva, because I know a lot of important people. So they were all invited, and that was the first impact. Mm. They came, they saw, and they were mesmerized. So that was great for Switzerland. If not, I have always written to the places of renown, like museums or the stock exchange in Zurich, the Swiss Stock Exchange, and or the museum in New York, the Financial Museum in New York, and I think Antonio is, his artwork is so amazing that everybody responds positively. We haven't had really many, many people who have said, you know, we don't want to see you, we don't want to talk about Antonio. So I built this beautiful website for Antonio from scratch, and kind of put everything where they were supposed to be so that they would have a good impact on the person that would go and look at the website. Then I wrote articles, a lot of articles in different magazines and financial journals on Antonio. Mm-hmm. And that was also very important. And I started talking about him on social media and with people all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that is primordial to for the image of the artist. So slowly but surely, just putting everything where they belong, and creating this this whole world around the artist, where his artwork can be seen and he can be heard. I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. So after that, it's just a piece of cake. You go, you visit people, and you know. You talk about the artist, you show one of his artworks and in life.
What has been the major validator in Antonio's career, according to you, Christine?
Something that has validated his career, you mean?
Something that's validated his artwork in the, channels that we usually speak of, an institution that's validated the artwork and sort of consecrated it, right, to move it up to the next level.
Right.
What would you say that the most important moment has been as far as validation?
Since 2013 that I work with Antonio, I can only talk about that part.
Yeah.
There've been many before for Antonio, but I think it was the Argos Hippium Prize that he won. Mm-hmm. It was granted to him, as I said before, by Italy. And it was for his international career and the pride he had brought to his country. Mm-hmm. That was great in many levels. First of all, because he's an artist and getting recognition is extremely important for him. Mm-hmm. It kind of opens doors for creating more, actually. So that's great. And it opened other doors for his career. For instance, in 2017, at the end of 2017, we received a call from the UNESCO in Italy, and mandating Antonio Natale for an exhibition on women's rights. And this was sponsored by the Lions Club International.
Yeah.
And it was just beautiful. And once that was done, the same exhibition traveled to Brussels because Mrs. Viviane Reding, who's the former vice president of the European Commission and member of parliament, wanted Antonio to bring it to the European Parliament in Brussels. Mm-hmm. That's what we did. So whatever this artist does, there's an impact behind it, and that's great. So Argo Sipium, I would say.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Can I ask what's next? After, of course, tonight's show at Webster, what's the next move? What's in...
Well, as I said, in 2019, we have projects that have been signed already, and we have a huge surprise coming up.
Okay.
I cannot say more about it because it's going to be signed, I think, next week.
Okay.
So.
Well, congratulations for whatever that is.
Thank you.
Great. What are the challenges to being an agent, if I may ask?
Well, it's not easy to represent an artist that is so big.
Mm.
There's a lot of things to do.
Right.
All the time. Sometimes I work until 5 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I don't have weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually took one week off after 5 years of work. Because even if you're on a beach, you have to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a constant work, representing the image of a person and then controlling.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's so many people that want Antonio to say something, or they take his image and do something with it. Mm-hmm. And I have to control everything. So that control is pretty challenging.
So you're always on call, and you have to be... you have to be vigilant about everything that happens.
Yes.
Having to do with Antonio's career.
Yeah, I say that the first 5 years were also challenging because I had to structure everything. Mm. So, you know, build a website, do this, do that. But now that everything is, you know, set, it's going to be much easier for me. But it's not a job. It's a passion. So I just love working with Antonio.
Yeah, and you seem to really appreciate his work. So that makes it easier to promote, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's the first thing.
Yeah. How do you, Antonio? How do you keep it fresh and real, this creative process?
Cosa fai per avere sempre questo creatività che
allora, la mia fortuna è quella di poter esprimermi.
I'm lucky because I can express myself.
E quindi le mie ispirazioni vengono momento dopo momento.
My inspirations come moment after moment.
Non ho bisogno di aspettare un preciso momento per averla.
I don't need to wait for a special moment to have my inspirations come to me.
In questo momento guardo questo paesaggio fuori autunnale, mentre parliamo io già sto pensando a quello cosa sarà la mia prossima opera d'arte.
So right now I'm looking through the window, at this beautiful
paesaggio
trees.
Autunnale.
Paesage. And so in my head I'm already building what I'm going to do next.
Bisogna lasciare il cervello sempre attivo per input esterni, per riceverli e per poi creare.
Okay, I need to keep my mind open all the time, my brain working all the time, so that I can grasp what is going on, take it in, so that I can create. Quindi, bring it out, creating.
La mia creatività può essere determinata da un paesaggio, da un rumore, da un suono, da un sapore, da un.
My inspiration can come from a sound of something I see, a taste or a smell. It can come from everywhere.
E poi ci lavoro sopra, pian piano.
And then I let it rest and grow inside
Lì
me, little by little.
Viene fuori la parte artistica, la parte più, diciamo, teorica, più pratica, scusami, più pratica.
So then the more practical side of the creation comes out.
That makes me really reflect, and it's hard to ask a question again because I sort of want to just pause and think, right? And like enjoy what you just said.
Okay.
So let's just pause. No, it's interesting. We were talking so much with the students earlier today about human questions, questions of migration, the stories of people that you want to tell. You talked also about your story that you put into your earlier work, the work on maps. So there's this sort of evolution of your work, as far as I understood it, you know, going from you telling your own story to telling the stories of other people. And I'm wondering whether you ever represent anything that doesn't have to do with a human. Does it happen that you do landscapes, for example? Other still lives, or is it always
certo
human? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Yes, of course.
Può succedere. Yeah. Non ho limiti alla mia creatività.
I don't have limits to my creativity.
Okay.
Dipende dal mio stato d'animo, dal mio umore, dalla mia giornata.
It depends on the way I think that day or how I've come to it, my day.
Yeah.
Quindi se c'è un tema che mi appassiona molto, posso lavorarci anche per 2 o 3 anni.
If there's a theme that I'm passionate about, I can work on it for 2 or 3 years, even.
Okay. So when it comes to having an exhibition, and I guess Christine, you would be the curator, or Antonio, you would be a curator together with Christine, or I'm not sure who does the curating, but who decides on what should go into an exhibition? How does an exhibition come up?
Actually, Antonio is the artist, so he paints, and he chooses. But we have a theme, or sometimes we choose together. That is true. But the first person who chooses the artwork is Antonio. He's exhibiting his art, so he knows.
So does he choose? Well, you sometimes choose a theme, but how do you know the time is ripe for a theme? Do you choose a theme and then work comes, or do you just let things go spontaneously until you have enough works and then you say, oh, this is a good theme for an exhibition?
No, Antonio has a lot of paintings, beautiful paintings. And sometimes we work with themes because somebody is asking us, okay, you know, I want on human rights, I
like
want
more
on
commission.
Exactly,
yeah.
To do an exhibition on it, like the UNESCO did, right? But sometimes we put whatever we feel like putting on, you know, an exhibition, because there's a thought behind it, or a red string, you know, that draws us to.
Per esempio, in alcune esposizioni senza tema.
In some of the expositions that have no theme.
Abbiamo la possibilità di esporre un po' di tutte le mie dei miei soggetti.
We can expose a bit of every kind of painting that he does.
E nella mia produzione, ci sono.
And in my production there are
supereroi,
superheroes,
temi sui diritti umani,
on human rights themes.
Alcuni lavori semplicemente per piacere estetico.
Some of my works is also just to please the eyes.
Ecco, mi riferisco alla domanda se avevo mai fatto una natura morta, a still life.
Yes. That's about the still life that you were talking about.
Quindi, essendoci molti soggetti nella mia produzione, possiamo scegliere noi quello che dobbiamo esporre.
So he has a lot of themes that he can explore and exhibit.
How does an artist not get attached to his work and just let it go when it comes to selling? It's a mystery to me, so I want to ask this.
Okay. Come è possibile di lasciare andare una tua opera?
Non vanno mai via.
They never go away.
Perché la persona che prende una mia opera farà parte poi della mia grande famiglia.
Because the person who buys the painting becomes a member of my family.
Sarà controllata, etichettata giorno dopo giorno. Conosco il suo indirizzo, il suo nome, il suo numero di telefono.
I take everything from him. He's controlled everything.
They go into a big Excel spreadsheet that Christine's exactly. writing.
No, document everything. No.
Effettivamente non è facile distaccarsi da un'opera, però è la funzione dell'artista.
But it's true that it's not very easy to separate yourself from your artwork. Mm. But
questa è la funzione dell'artista.
But this is how an artist functions.
Has it got easier over the years? Was it more difficult when you were starting out? This letting go.
Era più difficile prima di lasciare andare che oggi?
Allora è uguale. Ho lo stesso sempre lo stesso sentimento, lo stesso feeling. È uguale a quando avevo 20 anni o ad ora.
It's the same feeling when I was 20 or now. Mm. But I want to say something is that we have understood one thing while exhibiting. At least I have understood because he knew before me, of course. Is that you don't choose a painting. The painting chooses you. And whenever Antonio and I sell a painting, we are happy to see where the painting will go. It's like this painting has been adopted by a family who's going to exhibit it in their home and love it. So that's pretty encouraging for Antonio to know that if someday he needs to call the person and say, can I see my painting again? You know, it's never to say goodbye forever.
Quando un collezionista compra una mia opera, sono contento perché ha recepito il mio messaggio.
When a collector or a person who is interested in my artwork actually buys one of them, I'm very happy because I know that he has understood my message.
Mm-hmm. Questo è importante per andare avanti.
That's important to make me go forward.
Have you ever said no, you cannot have my work? To a potential buyer because you thought he didn't understand or she didn't understand the message behind the work?
Hai detto già una persona che non poteva avere un tuo...
Oh sì.
Oh yes.
Oh yes. Non dico dove e nemmeno chi, ma è successo...
I'm not going to say who were or where, but yes, it has happened.
Un esempio è stato una persona che voleva comprare una mia opera perché la banconota aveva lo stesso anno della data della nascita della moglie.
One of them was that the person wanted to buy my artwork because the banknote underneath had the same year of issue as his wife's birthday.
Lì ho dovuto dire che era mia collezione privata e che non la vendevo, altrimenti mi arrabbiavo.
So he said that it was his private collection. He couldn't sell it.
Okay.
He didn't want to get angry.
Yeah. Well, that was my next question, actually. Are there works that you would never sell that you want to have in your own private collection?
Sure, yes. Certo, sì. È in Puglia, nel mio atelier, dove ci sono opere ormai da anni.
In Puglia, in my atelier, in my painting studio, there are some paintings that are pretty old.
Perché sono pezzi fondamentali della mia ricerca artistica.
They're fundamental pieces of my... artistic research.
What do you think the best avenue for promoting work is? Is it on social media or is it in physical spaces?
You're asking me. So for me, I think it's the contact with the people. Mm-hmm. It's directly. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that can substitute for meeting the artist exactly face to face, asking questions face to face, having the privilege of being in his presence and asking questions about his own artwork. I think that is so important. That's why we usually have VIP evenings, events and we invite people. Mm-hmm. I think when a person is invited, he really appreciates that contact with the artist even more. Mm-hmm. And that's great for promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we're coming to the last big golden question, which is, why do you do what you do?
A volte me lo chiedo anch'io.
Sometimes I ask myself the same question.
That's good. That's a good sign.
Ok, sì. È una... è difficile spiegarlo perché...
It's a bit hard to explain it because...
Fare quello che faccio non è un lavoro.
Because what I do is not a job.
È una questione quasi fisiologica. Ho bisogno di farlo.
It's a physiological need. Okay. I really need to do it.
Può sembrare strano, ma nel momento in cui ho immagazzinato molti input, molte sensazioni.
It could sound strange, but when I take in a lot of input, a lot of stimuli.
Mm-hmm. Ho bisogno di buttarli fuori e vederli, renderli visibili.
I need to make them come to life and visible. Mm-hmm. So I need to throw them out, to take them out of myself.
E quando il risultato che era nella mia testa lo vedo davanti ai miei occhi, mi fa sentire bene.
And when I see the results in front of my eyes, then I feel good.
Mm. Quindi non mi chiedo il perché, vado avanti e basta.
Therefore, don't ask me why I do this. I just go on doing it and that's it.
È una cosa spontanea, ecco.
It's spontaneous.
There's another side of... just calls to mind something else we were discussing, which has to do with the wish to disrupt people's vision or perception of certain things. So you gave a personal answer, but then you also mentioned something else in class earlier, which had to do with the social role of the artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, messing with people a little bit, you know, being mm-hmm. a provocateur.
Yes, provoking people.
And disrupting what their understanding of a certain issue was, you know, mm-hmm. uncovering a different side of the story, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could give us an example of how you do that, because I think that's really interesting. How do you push people's perception of a certain thing? By uncovering something that people don't talk about because they just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Come fai per cambiare la mentalità o la credenza di una persona?
Ok, non credo di essere così potente o importante per poter cambiare la mentalità di una persona.
I don't think I'm important enough to be able to change somebody's total mentality mm-hmm. on some issues. Yeah.
La mia missione è quella di far riflettere e non di cambiarli.
My mission is to make people think and not to change their mind.
Mm.
Ecco, i miei messaggi con i miei lavori.
The messages I convey with my work.
Sono quasi dei consigli che fanno riflettere. Saranno loro poi a cambiare, se vogliono.
Okay. They're just some sort of an advice or giving them an advice or showing them something, then it's them who start changing inside.
Can you give us an example of a painting where you shed light on a certain person or a certain issue that wasn't in people's minds, and then you sort of introduce them to something really special about that person?
Un esempio di?
Di pittura che hai fatto che era su qualcosa che la gente non sapeva.
Okay.
E poi mm-hmm.
È l'esempio che nella lezione che abbiamo fatto questa mattina ho esposto ai ragazzi, anche agli studenti.
Yeah, it's what I showed this morning to the students mm-hmm. would be one good example.
Ho dedicato una serie di opere.
I have dedicated a few paintings
quei giovani, giovanissimi soldati della Germania che contro la loro volontà sono stati buttati in guerra a morire.
I dedicated to these very young German soldiers that without them wanting it were forced to go to war.
condannati a morire contro la loro volontà.
And they were condemned to die, you know, against their own will.
Allora, perché dopo una guerra ci sono i vinti e i vincitori.
After a war, there's always a winner and a loser.
E di cui si parla sempre sono solo i vincitori.
And we always talk about the people who have won wars, and we never talk about the other ones.
I perdenti sono sempre dimenticati.
The ones who have lost are always forgotten.
Ma io parlo dei perdenti semplici, delle persone normali, dei
giovani. I'm talking just about the young people, the normal people of both sides of a war.
Perché c'è stata in Germania una generazione di dai 16 ai 20 anni che è stata totalmente annientata, distrutta.
Because even in Germany they have been a whole generation of 16, 17 year olds that have been totally alienated,
allora,
exterminated.
Le mie creazioni sono dei busti di uomini, dei corpi, dei toraci, dell'anatomia di uomini con un rose bianche nel petto per significare la loro purezza prima della guerra.
So in this artwork that he showed, there's a bust of a man with a white flower in the middle of it, and this is to show that their purity in the face of war.
Actually. Nudi.
And they're all nude.
Perché come la natura li ha fatti.
Because nature has made them that way.
E quindi la rosa bianca per significare quel passaggio che c'era dalla purezza all'estremo sacrificio che era quello della morte in guerra.
Okay.
È un omaggio.
It's a homage. Do you say homage? Mm-hmm. It's a homage to them because they have made the great sacrifice out of their purity. They've been taken and they had to make the sacrifice for their homeland.
Ed è questo il messaggio che io lascio alle persone per far riflettere queste persone.
And these are the kind of messages I leave for people to reflect on.
Mm-hmm. One last question. Do you have any advice for young artists? Because you teach art as well, which is why I'm asking. It just seems like a nice way to end on a...
Ok, potrei sembrare retorico. Dicendo
maybe I'll be rhetorical.
Però l'unico messaggio che posso dare ai giovani artisti è quello sempre di non scendere mai a compromessi, di essere sempre se stessi.
I would tell the young artists one thing that I always do is don't
essere sempre se stessi.
Yeah, just stay the way you are, be
senza compromessi.
Yeah. Don't make
compromises,
thank you.
E se hanno un'idea, di portarla avanti fino all'estremo.
And if they have an idea, they should go until the end of it, to the extreme point of it.
That's a nice message.
E anche di essere un po' testa dura. In Italia abbiamo modo di dire testa dura per non essere vittime di nemici o distrazioni. Bisogna avere la testa come un toro e andare avanti.
But you need to be hard-headed, because you need to be like a toro and go all the way. And
like a toro.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, you're a Taurus. Nice. Well, thank you so much for recording.
Grazie a lei.
Thank
this
you.
This interview with me, and look forward to your lecture and your show this evening.
So do we.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.